Welcome to SheerinGermany.com.
We are now holding the Aser Simei Teshuva and special time to give appreciation to Jake Wyman for SheerinGermany.com, all of the enormous work that goes into giving, produce, preparing for us Torah every night of the week. Jake is always on call. He's always on call in providing Torah for the Rabbin. And likewise, we want to thank Mitch Green for his tireless efforts. Today's shir is dedicated to Zecher Uli'ili Nishmas Manish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh. May his neshama have an aliyah. And a special thank you to our sponsor for his generosity. Today, in honor of Yom Kippur, coming to Shabbos, I would like to speak about Yom Kippur. And I would like to speak about specifically a Mincha of Yom Kippur. Mincha of Yom Kippur is unique. It's a very unique time in the afternoon, the late afternoon. We have Mincha. Chazal tells us that Mincha is the tefillah which is the most potent. Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel was answered at the time of Mincha. It's the end of the day. And in Shemayim, Chazal tells us there is more rachamim in the time of Mincha. Chassidim, they particularly, Chassidim have a minhag the whole year to daven mincha, to end the day. Just like, we know, I think we are all familiar with, there's something called davening kivosikin. We daven when the sun rises. We want to connect ourselves, to connect the earliest time that we can possibly daven. At that moment, we should be standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the same exact thing, mincha. The last moment of the day, as the sun goes down, ideally, I don't know if it's ideally, but the Hasidim certainly hold that it's ideal. We should stand before Hashem. That way we start the day with davening to Hashem, and we end the day of davening to Hashem. In addition to it being a special time of the day, on Yom Kippur, we enhance the mincha with Kriyas HaTorah. We lay in the Parsha of Arayos. There are many reasons why we lay in from the Parsha of Arayos. But I want to talk more specifically that we lay in from Maftir. We very rarely lay in Maftir. We have a Haftorah, mincha. We only do this on a Tainis Tzibur. And then we all know that we lay in Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matzoi towards the end of Yeshaya. And on Yom Kippur, the Maftir for Mincha is Yoina. Maftir Yoina. And the question is why? Why from all the sections of Nevi'im did Chazal select for us to read the story of Yoina? Why is it appropriate to lay in Yoina? So let's go through some of the reasons. The first reason, simplest reason, is the story of Yoina teaches us you cannot escape from Hashem. Yoina, when he was instructed to go to Nineveh and warn them that in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed if they do not do teshuvah. And we know when Yonah did eventually make his way to Nineveh and told them to do teshuvah, they did do teshuvah. But Yonah was afraid to go to Nineveh because Yonah realized that Nineveh would do teshuvah. And he felt that this would cause a kitrek on Klal Yisrael. Here, Klal Yisrael, they were warned numerous times by the Nevi'im, they should stop, cut out all the averos, they should do teshuvah, they should be sincere in their repentance and come close to Hashem. And unfortunately, Klal Yisrael more or less did not obey the directive of the Nevi'im. And if he's going to go to now Nineveh, and the people of Nineveh will immediately abide by his command and do teshuvah, in Shemayim, there would be a accusation against Klal Yisrael. Here, look at these goyim in Nineveh. They were not very upright people. And yet they are doing teshuva. So Klal Yisrael, how much more should they do teshuva? And yet we find that they're not willing to do teshuva, even though Hashem has warned them repeatedly. And this would be a very big accusation against Klal Yisrael. Why don't they do teshuva? If even in Ninve they do teshuva, so certainly Klal Yisrael should do teshuva. And this that they do not do teshuva, it is a kitrog. So Yoina did not want to obey the command of Hashem and go to Ninve and give them the message that they should do teshuva. And he ran away. He got aboard a ship. He paid the voyage of the ship. He paid for the whole ship to flee from Eretz Yisrael and to go to Chutz La'aretz. The Chutz La'aretz calculation is the Shechina does not rest in Chutz La'aretz, and Hashem will not bestow upon him a spirit of prophecy, and Hashem will not be able to communicate with him in Chutz La'aretz, so he will be exempt. So Yoina was fleeing from Eretz Yisrael, where a spirit of prophecy would come upon him, to go travel to Chutz La'aretz, to a place where Ruach HaKodesh Nevuah would not come upon him, and he will no longer be required to fulfill the prophecy, or at least he will no longer hear the prophecy ring in his head, go to Nineveh and give them Musar. So Yonah desperately tried to escape and got into the ship, and there was a storm, and the people on the ship took a goyim, who is the cause of the storm, and Yonah was selected, and they threw him overboard. He was eaten by a fish, and then he went from one fish to another fish, and we know the whole story. But the message of the story is, you cannot escape Hashem. There is no way you can escape. Wherever you are, whatever situation you are in, Hashem is there. And that's a very important message to Yom Kippur. To realize, ultimately, you will have to come face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and give a din v'cheshbon. Give an accounting for your sins. Do what is required of you. Do what Hashem wants from you. And at the end of Yom Kippur, the end of the Asteris Yimei Teshuvah, at the climax, the entire time of the year, beginning with Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Asteris Yimei Teshuvah, at this critical moment, a person should not just, okay, I give up. I'm just going to ignore Hashem. I'm just going to just cruise through Yom Kippur, through the Yom Hadin, and I'll just, you know, stay in the background. You cannot escape Hashem. And therefore, do teshuva, make an accounting with Hashem, a cheshbon ha-nefesh of the Yom Hadin. That is one common explanation of why we read from Yoina. Another idea as to why we read from Yoina is, most people, when you ask them, which person from the Ishei HaTanakh suffered the most? Who really suffered in Tanakh? Immediately comes to mind the most common answer. Eoiv. Eoiv was a person who had everything, had children, had good health, had success. He served Hashem with his full heart. He was called a Yorei Shemayim. And then Eiv was challenged. Eiv was challenged and he lost his wealth, he lost his children, and he lost his health. And he suffered enormously. And we know this is a very complex book, Sefer Eiv, extremely complex. Eiv has a conversation with his three friends, and their conversations allude or capture the totality of human suffering, the concept of why do bad things happen to good people. We believe that in Sefer Iyov we present the totality of questioning Hashem, why we suffer, all different types of suffering, and there's been many svarim written on this, and therefore, rightfully so, the average person will tell you that from all of the Ishei HaTanach, the person who suffered the most is Iyov. But the truth is, it's not correct. Iyov did not suffer the most. Iyov is more of a, all the questions. Why do we suffer? The entire totality of the process of analyzing the benefit, the mystery of why we suffer. But he did not necessarily suffer the most from the Ishei HaTanach. The person who suffered the most was Yonah. And it's in his name itself. Yonah means to suffer. In Sefer Yeshaya, I don't have now at me, I was trying to prepare right before, I failed you, but it says a number of times in Sefer Yonah, in Sefer Yeshaya, an expression where clearly the word Yonah is used in the pasuk and it means to suffer. And therefore, you know, a name captures everything. A name captures who you are, what your purpose is. We don't know what these things mean. We are not on a level that we could even to have name out of. But if this person's name was Yonah, it means that he suffered. And indeed, we look at the story of Sefer Yonah. He went through enormous torture. Hashem gave him nevuah. The pain of not being able to abide by his command to go to Nineveh and rebuke the people of Nineveh. It was painful. And he had to flee. And he went on a ship. And then when he realized the ship was about to sink, he just went into a private room, closed his eyes, and prepared for his death. And then the people discovered him and they brought him to the top of the ship and they questioned him and interrogated him. He was tortured. And then he was tortured again when they threw him overboard. And then he was tortured again when a fish swallowed him up. And he was tortured again when he was transferred from one fish to another fish. And he was tortured when he finally came to realize that he has to do his mission. And he went to Nineveh and he gave them Musar. And immediately the people of Nineveh began to do teshuva, and that caused him grief because he knew now he was the source of a terrible accusation against Klal Yisrael. Why don't they do teshuva? Could you imagine the grief he had at being the person who is responsible for opening up an accusation against his own people? The whole Klal Yisrael will be threatened with punishment, severe punishment, for not doing teshuva, because here he gave Musar to a non-Jewish nation to do teshuva, and they did teshuva. And right away in Shemayim there was an accusation against Klal Yisrael. And then Yonah had to flee, and he found himself on a desert island, dying of starvation. Again he suffered. And then it grew the kikoyin, a little shade. But suddenly it disappeared. It just evaporated. And what gave him some small degree of pleasure was taken away from him. And again, he suffered. The entire saga of Yonah is one of enormous suffering. And perhaps he is the person who suffered the greatest degree of suffering. It was a spiritual suffering. The suffering of Yonah was a different type of suffering than Eli's. Eli was more of a physical suffering. He lost his wealth, he lost his fame, he lost his health, he lost his children. And it caused him to question Hashem. Eli, he suffered spiritual challenges, which were intense. On Yom Kippurim, it is a day of V'inisem es nafshoy seichem. We are instructed by Hashem, we should afflict ourselves. And the affliction we bring upon ourselves is we don't eat, we don't drink. The other three inuyim, it's basically a physical suffering, but we all know good and well that this Ve'ev Yom HaKippurim is to afflict ourselves spiritually. Why did we sin? Why did we not do teshuva? Why do we fail to recognize Hashem is the creator? Hashem is in control. Why have we not given ourselves over 100% to Hashem? And the physical suffering is just to stimulate V'inisem es nafshoy seichem. As the pasuk says, you shall afflict your soul on Yom HaKippurim. And afflicting our soul, we connect that to Yonah, who likewise lived a life of suffering. We learn from Yonah what V'inisem es nafshoy seichem is. It's spiritual suffering for Klal Yisrael. And that's another reason why we focus on Mafti Yonah. And there's a third reason. I want to discuss a third reason. This reason comes from the Shlomo Kluger in his Sefer. And he says a very profound idea as to why we read from Yonah. In the story of Yonah, he was on the ship and it was about to capsize, and they took a goyro, took a lottery, they made a lottery among the people on the ship, and the lottery revealed that Yonah was the cause of the storm and was the cause of this, that the ship would capsize. And they grabbed Yonah, and in the pasuk, we have to go with the psukim, but just to be short, they said to Yonah, when they discovered that he was the cause of the situation, they said to him, they asked him a question, "Bishel mi hora'o hazois?" Again, Bishel mi hora'o hazois. Because of who is this storm? Is this what's occurring now? This situation? Who is the cause of this? What do you mean who is the cause of this? Yonah is the cause. The goyro had determined that Yonah is the cause. What did they mean when they said Bishel mi Haro Hazois? Shlomo Kluger, he says something very, very profound. Very profound, very deep. We have a principle all over Shas, all over the Gemara, Rashi and Chumash says it also. There's something that we don't know how this works, but at times, for unknown reasons, a tzaddik dies. The tzaddik does not deserve to die for his own private sins. He doesn't have sins. There's nothing he could have possibly done that he deserves death. There are people that die before their time, and we can testify. These are good people, honest people, Yerei Shemayim, and we're challenged. What could they have possibly done in their life that they deserve to die? And Chazal acknowledged the question. They acknowledge that our observation is correct. There are no secrets. Okay, we know all the secrets generally. There's no reason any Avera person could have done. Why did he die? And they tell us, again, we don't know how this works. Sometimes Hashem takes a tzaddik before his time as a kapara for the generation. For others, maybe there are members of his family that have sinned and they need a kapara. And Hashem takes the tzaddik to be a kapara for his family, for his friends, for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when they said to Yoina, Yoina, we know that it appears to us that you have to die. It appears that the storm has come about on a behalf because of you. The ship is about to sink because of you. But we're asking you, did you really do an Avera that you deserve death? Or is it Hashem has selected you to die to be mechaper on the generation, on others, maybe even us? Bishel mi hora o'azos. Because of who is this happening? We know for sure the Goyel has determined that you are the one. You will die. You will die today. Or at least it seems so. There is a storm. The ship is going to capsize. And you are the cause of the storm. Hashem is out to get you. But why is Hashem out to get you? Is it because you have done an Avera? Are you deserving of death? Or is it no? You're a tzaddik. You are not deserving death. But you can sense that Hashem is selecting you to die, to be mechaber on the generation or on a group of people, whoever they may be. It's a very difficult concept to appreciate. In the morning of Yom Kippur, we learn about the death of Nadav va'Avihu. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe acharei Moshe. Shnei b'nei Aaron, b'karvasam el Hashem v'yamusu. There is nothing that Nadav v'Avihu could have done. They deserve to die. They were young boys. Chazal gave many reasons, but we all know that they drank a little wine and they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They brought an Eish Zora. No, these are Averos. Ein hochinami. But to die for such averos, young boys, there's nothing they could have done to die because of their sins. It was larger than that. Hu asher diber Hashem b'kroivai ekodesh. Moshe told Aaron, I knew that the Beis HaMikdash would be sanctified through the Misas Sadikim. I thought it would be me or you. But now I realize that Nadav v'Avihu were selected. They're even greater than us. Rashi really says the mystical concept of Misa Sadikim is Mechaper. And again, we have no idea what this means. And Chas v'Shalom, today, who says today it exists, this concept? In our times, this is lofty concepts that appear in the time of Tanakh, time of the Gemara, but we're not today. We have to hope and pray that these things don't really exist today. We're just regular people, and Hashem has response on us. That's the basic approach of G'dayle Yisrael. Ikvus of the Mashiach, we don't have these harsh judgments. But we read about it in the morning. We also read the Asara Haruge Malchus in the Piyut Eila Eskira. And the Asara Haruge Malchus were great tzaddikim that died. They had no sin. There's nothing they did that could have been, they could have been deserving death. Why did they die? Nisa Sadikim is Mechaper for the Dar. And therefore, we have to understand that Yoina, that's the question. Bishalmi Hora Ohazos. And on Yom Kippur, you come to the end of the day, and you know, it could happen that, all right, we did enough Tesuvah during Elul, during Rosh Hashanah, and you know, we are confident we'll be okay. We have to remember this concept. Bishalmi Hora Ohazos. We have to do Tesuvah as much as possible. Because if there is a complaint against Klal Yisrael, so therefore, we have to remember Yom Kippur. When we come to the end of Yom Kippur, we have to do teshuva whether we like it or not. Because if we don't do teshuva, there's going to be someone else that is going to be burdened for being mechaper for our averos. Just like Yonah was selected, the question to Yonah was, why are you suffering? Are you suffering because you did an avera? Or are you suffering because someone else did an avera? We have to throw you over the ship. One way or another, you have to leave the ship. Because there's a great, you're putting us all in sakana. But when we throw you over the ship, we want to know, did you sin before Hashem a severe avera that Hashem is demanding from you teshuva? Or is it that, no, you're a tzaddik, and you were selected to be mechaper for other people? So that's a very profound idea. On Yom Kippur, if we have sinned this year, ain't tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechatah, every person has averos. If a person does not provide atonement for himself and do a sincere teshuvah, then the sin remains, and someone else has to pick up the tab. And someone else has to have discomfort to atone for our sins. How could we allow that to be? How can we carry with us a burden that someone else will be mechaper for us? Again, I'm saying that this I don't mean to, this we should really, you know, take this literally, because again, our generation, we don't really work with this principle. But at least in concept of the previous generations, there is a concept that when a sin is done, there has to be an accounting. If we can't clean up after our own mess, someone has to clean up. Okay? That's the rule in life. You know, when you go and you into a place and you make a mess, eventually someone has to clean up the mess. In averos, it's the same thing. An atonement has to be paid for our averos. If we're not going to atone ourselves, someone has to atone for us. Therefore, this concept we find in Chazal, Misas Tzadikim is Mechaper on the generation. The Asara Haruge Malchus, they did not do any averos. Their death, their gruesome death, was a kapara for the generation. Nadav Avihu, they didn't do any averos that they were deserving of death. But Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, have nechama, that they are tzaddikim, and their death atoned for Klal Yisrael. Theoretically, this concept applies. Maftir, mincha, on Yom HaKippurim, we're going to read, B'shalmi hara hazois. You are going to be thrown overboard. We want to know, did you do an avera that's deserving of death? Or are you selected to atone for the averos of somebody else? It's an amazing concept. Therefore, we can't slack off.
Because how can we live with ourselves knowing that we're going to live, maybe we'll live a whole year. Hashem, for whatever reason, he'll let us live a whole year. He'll let us live a long life. But someone has to clean up our mess. How can we allow someone else to pay the tab, to pay our bill? How can we allow someone else to be b'shalmi haro hazois? And therefore, we must do teshuvah, whether we like it or not, in that it will not exist in Avera that there will have to be teshuvah, have to be payment in any way or form by anyone in this world. Like I said a few times already, we don't take this literally, but the concept is a very deep concept. And that's why we lay in Yoina. So in summary, we have explained over here three reasons why we lay in Sefer Yoina. One is, you can't escape. You think you'll run away from Hashem. Hashem will get you anywhere in the world. In the belly of the beast, in the belly of the boat. He's down there in the belly. He went to sleep. There's a big storm. They found him. And they took a goyel. And they realized he's the cause of the storm. They threw him overboard. Hashem picked him up in a fish. Sent him to Nineveh. You can't escape Hashem. You have to come face to face with Hashem and do teshuva. The second reason we explained is Yoina. Yoina suffered the most, more than Eoif. And Yom HaKippurim is a day of coming face to face with your failures. V'inisem es nafshoy seichem. We identify with Yoina. And the third concept is b'shalmi hara'ah hazois. We have a responsibility to ourselves and a responsibility to other people. We can't make a mess. We don't want someone else to clean up after our mess. We have to take responsibility for our averos and do teshuva. It's very easy. A little teshuva goes a long way, a very long way. Just feel a little bit. Clean up our mess. I want to wish everyone here a gemar chasima toiva, a good ben shiar. And how many Yom Kippurs do we have in our life? How many Yom Kippurs have, from the time that we realize it's Yom Kippur, is a Yom Kippur, the Yom HaKadosh, the holiest day of the year, the holiest day of the year. How many do we have our whole life? We don't know. Hopefully we have 120 more, but it's not too many. Not too many days of the year we can connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, come close to him, atone to our averos. Doimel malachim. On Yom HaKippurim, we are on a level where we are doimel lemalachi hasharis. It's a very special day, especially for a group of people like you who appreciate what it means to come close to Hashem, to learn every night of the week. People like Jake who are desire and yearn to bring the Devar Hashem to the masses in such a beautiful way. It's a very big schus. We say at the very end of Ne'ilah, Ein lanu shiur rak haTorah hazois. We live in Golus. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash. We don't have full control over Eretz Yisrael. There are enemies on all four sides. There are nations that are telling us what to do, limiting our ability to strike back. We suffer. We suffer in Golus. We cannot freely practice Yadus to the fullest degree. All of the mitzvahs, half the mitzvahs of the Torah, are not applicable b'zman hazem. And as the Paiton says at the end of Ne'ilah, what do we have? What do we have? Ein lanu shiur are Rak HaTorah Hazais. And who are those people who appreciate those words more than anything? You. You appreciate those words. Because you come and you learn every night. Appreciate Torah. And may it be a zuchus for you and your family. To a year of beracha and atzlacha and nachas. And we should be zoicha to the gula b'mehira v'yameinu. Amen. Have an easy fast and successful, victorious Yom Hadin. Good night. Thank you.